Welcome, this is Lana. In case you don't already know, there are two versions of this interview, an audio version, but also a video version. Head over to redice.tv to find both versions located in the section for 314. And of course, Red Ice members will find the video version in the extra section on the members' website. With me is Erica, an alt-right millennial and white identity advocate from Florida. Find her alt-right commentary on social and political issues on Twitter at FacMagnaAmerica. We'll discuss her induction into the alt-right and why embracing a European identity is important to a white person in America, and really all over the world. Also, we play a few clips from the Q&A portion of Richard Spencer's A&M University Talk and comment on the state of mind of your average black and white college student today. It all starts now. Erica, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I know I always say, do I say show? Do I say program? It both kind of seems a little cheesy for some reason. I don't know. It seems like, too, I've noticed there's a lot more women willing to come out and show their face and their names. I wonder why that is, talking about these topics.
I don't know. It's been really, really nice, like, seeing all the women, like, alt-right women or just, like, more of the far-right-wing women come out and start to defend, like, the alt-right and stand up for, like, traditional values and stuff like that. While you see, like, a lot of men, like, kind of, like, cucking out on it and stuff.
Hiding out behind the avatar. I think, too, you know, someone brought up a point, well, a lot of women, though, can stay home while their husbands take care of them, so it's easier for them to come out maybe with their identity and say things. But all the women that I've encountered have actually been working women, too, and they're using their names.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, single. I'm a working woman and stuff like that, and I'm coming out with this kind of stuff. I don't think that has, like, that much to do with it either. Like, I don't know. Generally, you see in, like, marriages or long-time couples that have been together for a long time, they hold a lot of the same views. So, I don't know. I've seen, like, a lot of, like, the men and women couples online and stuff. They come out with at least standing up for the alt-right or just what they believe in, at least, and I don't know, it's just, it's nice to see, like, all of the women coming out and defending, I don't know, our civilization, Western civilization.
Yeah, and then the left just sounds completely stupid when they say that all these, you know, young mothers and wives are white supremacists. It just sounds ridiculous, you know.
It's just doesn't make any sense. They just, like, have this, like, crazy view of, like, infantizing women and stuff like that, of we need to be taken care of, which, I mean, it's good to be taken care of, but we can always, like, stand up for ourselves with stuff like that too. Like, we can stand up for ourselves, and I guess I don't want to call it, like, feminism, because that has such, like, a bad connotation to it at this point, but feminism to me is kind of just doing what alt-right women do and kind of standing up for traditionalism and traditional values, and I don't know, just not being treated as victims, like how the left treats women as victims.
Yeah, and then also I noticed there's a lot of propaganda that says, oh, all these alt-right men, they just want women making sandwiches and making, you know, making food all day, slaving away in the kitchen. And that's not true. All the alt-right guys I know, they want a partnership. They want a woman, an intellectual equal who actually can keep up with some of these politics.
Right? Yeah, and then, I mean, I don't have a problem staying in the kitchen and making a sandwich for a guy that actually, like, treats me good and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't think they realize when they say that, like, hey, we kind of enjoy cooking and taking care of, like, our
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, you can cook and take care of your family and be involved in these topics
and
do other things.
Exactly. Like, it's not like one or the other or something like that. You can still be, like, an activist for these topics and stuff like that and still be, like, a traditionalist and a homemaker and take care of your family.
That's right. So I see that you labeled yourself an American nationalist on Twitter. So what does that mean to you to be an American nationalist?
Stand up for American values, stand up for Western values, just stand up. Since I'm, like, more into the alt-right stuff now, what I've kind of conflated American values with is also with white Western values.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's basically standing up against all of the globalization and the feminism and just all of the bad stuff that the left is trying to push on, especially millennials now at this point, and kind of destroy the traditional values that America has grown and thrived on for so long.
So how did you come to find the alt-right then?
Twitter.
So what was it that first really stood out to you and you're like, yeah, I'm really interested in this?
It's been like a long, it's basically been this past entire year that I ran into the alt-right a really long time ago. I guess I got around on Twitter about this time last year, I think. It was when I started, like, it's always about a year before elections is when I start to, like, check out the candidates and get into politics and stuff like that. So, of course, on Facebook, I'm like, hey, I kind of like this Donald Trump guy and stuff. And I was more right-wing. Of course, you know, everybody, like, around my age is, like, more, like, left and stuff like that, which they're either, at that point, most of them were Bernie Sanders. And then, of course, they pushed the whole, like, police brutality stuff and feminism stuff and all of that. And I would, like, kind of, like, call them out on, like, their bullshit. And they're just like, how can you talk like this? And I was just like, there's some like basic facts out there to just kind of like dispute what you're saying. I'm like, don't take it as like personal or anything like that. They're like, well, I can't handle this. And so my one friend who I actually considered like a sister, she ended up unfriending me on Facebook over all this stuff. And we had a bunch of talks and everything about this. And it was just, she would take everything personally. So at that point, the friendship fell apart over like stupid politics and stuff like that. And once I finally got into the politics stuff and saw what's happening over in Europe and just saw what's happening in colleges and really started to pay attention, I was like, okay, this is like super screwed up with all of this stuff that's happening. So, of course, you know, Milo Yiannopoulos was one of the people who started going into the alt-right stuff and like defining it. And of course I ran into, like, you know, like, the different, like, alt-right figures on Twitter, like, the really extreme alt-right ones that just kind of, like, go out and troll, and they just, like, call women thoughts and stuff like that. I was like, is this the alt-right? Is Milo the alt-right? Like, what are they talking about? I was like, there has to be some, like, middle ground here of, like, what exactly the alt-right is. And so I started digging into it a little bit more, and I found, you know, like, Richard Spencer, Millennial Woes, and Kevin McDonald.
The good stuff, the real alt-right.
Exactly, and, like, Jared Taylor and Peter Brimlow and everything. I was like, okay, like, I completely identify with, like, these viewpoints and everything. And so I was, like, researching it for a long time before I actually came out and was like, hey, this is what I believe in. Like, this is what I believe is right. Like, I think this is important. I've come out defending the alt-right after the whole NPI incident. it's been important to me to defend it at this point because there's been so many, I don't know, opportunistic liars and just people who have been basically just calling the entire movement Nazis and white supremacists and stuff like that. And it's just, I actually like the truth about things. And so that's been like my awakening with certain things, with coming to like terms with me identifying myself as more alt-right.
Yeah. And a lot of alt-right people, you know, as you know, it's a white identity movement. And a lot of us know that prior to 1965, America was about 90% European, you know, it was a melting pot of Europeans. And then, you know, somebody opened the doors to mass immigration and now we're slated to become a minority very quickly. So why do you think our elites want to make us a minority, white people in America?
Votes. they want to have control of everything. And they know that if they get people reliant on the government, they're the only ones. The right wing doesn't necessarily push big government. If they want to have control, they have to have the votes and people reliant on the government. And that's what, if they offer the welfare to minorities and stuff like that, that's where they're going to get the votes, and that's how they're going to stay in power. Because obviously, we know from right now, as far as statistics go, that it's, as far as relation to population, it's minorities who mostly vote Democrat and rely on government programs. So that's what I think it is with opening up America to globalization and mass immigration, and that they want power.
And it also seems like, obviously, immigration is being used as a weapon, too, because they say, you know, well, you deserve it because of your past and colonialism and slavery and all this stuff. So it seems like it's also a big Marxist plot at the end of the day to, you know, get revenge against white people. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't like saying that it's a whole, like, planned concerted effort to destroy white people necessarily. If there is proof to that, then actually I would, but, they just know that mostly whites aren't the ones who rely on government and rely on their power and stuff like that. So it's a shame to see what's happening. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's been a lot of elites who have come out and essentially said, you know, there will be world peace when there's no more white people around anymore. So just mix it up, you know, and then they just flood every single white country, but they're not flooding any non-white countries.
I've heard the elites over in Germany and stuff like that specifically say that whites need to be a minority and stuff like that. I've not necessarily heard that in America straight out with more of like Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, obviously. but yeah, in Germany and stuff, I feel, especially Germany, what was that? It was the one, the Green Party, woman who said that whites need to be a minority and stuff like that and pushing for the mass immigration. So I'm happy that we did elect Donald Trump here in America. So hopefully we can curb that and get the alt-right a little bit more established and stuff like that and have whites kind of embracing an identity a little bit more so we can prevent that, because the numbers right now aren't looking good as far as whites being a minority in our own country.
Yeah, and that's why it is so important, I think, to have a true European identity movement to cling to in these turbulent times, to empower and equip European people so they don't fall prey to a lot of this anti-white propaganda, because in education, entertainment, media, oh, it's always the same message. White people, hate yourselves. You're to blame. Get out of the way, right?
Well, that's what's been taught in history books for so long, is that white people have been the problem and we enslaved all these people, which I'm not going to deny that whites have done bad stuff in the past, but so has every single other race.
That's right.
Like, it's not like confined to white people that have done all this stuff and we weren't the ones that started it. And we tended to be the ones who finished it first. So it's a bunch of bull crap. Whites have been like the only ones that haven't been able to embrace an identity and be proud of an identity. And if we are, then we're called like supremacists and stuff like that. And if we embrace an identity, then that means that we hate every other race. Like, that's stupid. Like,
it's a straw man. Yeah,
exactly. Like, it's stupid. Like, every single other race is allowed to have an identity and be proud of it and stuff like that. And they automatically, like, don't hate any other race if they do. So I think it's only fair that we're able to. And every single alt-right person that I've met, they don't hate any other race. We're just proud of our race.
Exactly.
So,
and there's nothing wrong with wanting to live with people that you share a culture and ancestry with, that, you know, of course everyone does. No, you know, people are always condoning white nationalism, but that means you don't support any white nations, whether Sweden, Germany, Switzerland, Russia, all of those are white nations, you know?
Yeah.
But no one ever comes against yellow nationalism or black nationalism, right? That's okay.
No, nobody ever comes up against that. So it was crazy when I was walking around in New York just a couple days ago. I would just see a bunch of, like, black people, like, they would just be wearing, of course, they're, like, Rastafarian colors, and they'd have, like, they'd have earrings or necklaces with, like, Africa on it and stuff like that. And they were, like, obviously very clearly, like, black nationalists living in America and stuff like that. And I never noticed that stuff before I actually started researching out the alt-right and stuff like that. I was just like, I'm not against black nationalists and stuff like that, but America isn't a country where that should be not, like, allowed. Like, this isn't like a black country.
Yeah, I think it might be heading towards a lot of division, though. I think when you're slamming millions of people into this one area at the same time, one system of government is not going to work for all these different cultures. I think eventually, we know this, diversity creates conflict. So eventually there will be some sort of a conflict. So, I mean, I do support this country. The solutions are very different from Europe. You know, Europe is very much European nations, and it needs to stay that way. I know that this is always, America's been a product of mass immigration, mostly, you know, white immigration. But I think as time goes on, this country is going to become way more divided, in even in territories. And I think that might actually be a good thing, because then, you know, the lefties can have the left coast, you know, blacks that want to separate could here, whites who want to be separate could be here. I mean, I'm not opposed to that idea. What do you think about that idea?
No, I'm not opposed to that idea either. That's what you see in every single multicultural country. You already have communities who segregate themselves off from other communities. The blacks live with the blacks. You have in Michigan, you have all the Muslims living with the Muslims. You see generally around in areas, the richer areas of the country and stuff. Like, you have whites in, like, the suburbs and stuff like that. Like, it's natural. I don't know. It's natural to live with your own race who has your same culture in common and your same values in common. Like, it's not, like, a bad thing or anything like that. Like, I don't particularly want to hang out with liberals, or I don't want to hang out with, say, Asian people who have a different culture than me, or Black people who have a different culture than me, because we don't have anything in common. Like, it's not enjoyable to necessarily spend a long amount of time with those people. So,
and that's what traveling's for. You know, yeah, I want to exactly. go to China and see Chinese people. You know, I don't want to have to see them everywhere I go in San Francisco. You know,
go enrich yourself with their outfits and their dumplings and enjoy it.
And now we're supposed to celebrate that America's never going to be a white country again. And I always ask, okay, well, at what point are we going to receive any kind of minority status? Right? I mean, when we are the world's minority, we just happen to be living, a lot of us, in America.
Yeah, that's why I don't want us to be like minorities in a country. That's what Richard was saying last night. Like, he doesn't want his children to be minorities, because minorities are generally not treated good, and they haven't been treated good in the past by whoever is the majority in the country. And so if we're the minorities in America at any point, like, you can expect to look at the past and be like, hey, we aren't treated that good, because the only reason that we are able to hold on to our status right now with all of the anti-white hate and stuff out there is because we're still a majority in the country. If we're a minority in the country, we're not going to be able to really defend ourselves from that kind of stuff.
No, it'll be like South Africa. And honestly, I think that when it comes to how minorities are treated, I think that European people treat minorities really good. They get all kinds of perks, you know, special loans, grants, scholarships, housing and jobs, affirmative action. I mean, we treat them very well.
Treat them very good. Maybe not in the past, like stuff like that, but we try to right all of our wrongs and listen to all the lefty rhetoric and stuff like that. And they have all of the perks and stuff. They have special programs just for them, while whites really don't. So,
yeah, I've actually had people ask me, why is a European identity so important to you? Why is Europe so important to you? Like, it's because it's the continent where our ancestors come from. I mean, that is our history, our roots, our ancestry. Everything comes from there, right? Is Europe important to you?
Europe is absolutely important to me. That's why I've just started. I just sent my ancestry kit, my DNA kit, over into ancestry.com and stuff like that. I'm putting together my family tree and stuff like that. I'm interested to see, like, exactly where I came from in Europe and what the history is with my family. Like, it's just kind of striking to me that people have to, if we're interested in our own European identity and stuff like that, people have to ask us to justify why we're interested in having our own identity, when you have people walking around that call themselves African Americans when they've never been to Africa in their life, or they don't know who their ancestors are in Africa and stuff like that. And they don't have to justify why they're Black nationalists, or why they have an interest in Africa and stuff like that. Like, it doesn't mean, it's just this whole stigma that's around white people having some sort of identity and some sort of being proud in their heritage and stuff like that, where we have to justify why we're proud of our heritage.
Yeah, they automatically think, you know, when Richard Spencer says become who we are, or that we're proud of our heritage, that automatically means we want to go mass murder non-whites. I mean, this is actually what they think
no,
it means.
That's right. No, you heard them last night. There was the one Black guy who asked the question, what do you plan to do with us? And he's like, nothing. He's like, well, you're a white nationalist. What do you plan to do with us? He's like, you can't do anything. Like, you're a citizen. Like, you have your rights here in America. Like, we can't do, like, it's like, I don't understand the question. Like, what do you mean by that? It's like, we're not going to do anything to you.
Let's play that clip. We have that, actually.
As a young Black man in this country that was born here, how do you intimidate me to leave?
I'm not making you leave.
So what's your plan with us?
What's your...
What are you going to do with all these people that are here? What are you intending to do with this white country that you want to have? So what are you intending to do?
You're a citizen. You're here.
So what is this entire conversation about?
This entire conversation is about identitarian consciousness for white people.
And what will that incite?
incite. It's going to incite politics and a new hate.
Yeah, I mean, he actually thinks that talking like how Richard talks just because he supports white nationalism, then it means that we're going to round up all these black people and ship them away. We heard that with Trump, too, and people, all these trannies and gays thinking they were going to get hauled off to camps. You know?
I know. It didn't make any sense. I was like, no, we don't plant your citizens here. Like, we're not going to do anything with you. It's just like, we want you to be successful in the country and we want you to assimilate to Western values and actually appreciate what we appreciate about European values and about this country. Like, we don't want to do anything with you. It was just, I hadn't seen it from that angle before when I watched it. It's just, when he got upset when Richard wouldn't give him the answer that he wanted, and he just, like, gave the microphone back and stormed off. It was interesting, too, what I saw, because I was watching a Periscope from that one side of the crowd over there where the black people were. Even the black people in that crowd, they segregated themselves to an own little separate area right in the seating over there. It was interesting to watch that.
And it's interesting, though, because you do talk to a lot of level-headed blacks, and you say, yeah, okay, yeah, you were brought here against your will, but a lot of people came after slavery and had nothing to do with slavery, but would you like to go back to Africa then? Do you not like to be here? And a lot of them were like, hell no, you know, of course I want to stay here. So I just don't get it. I mean, and then they think that what will it incite? They actually think it's that white identity is going to incite killing blacks. I mean, this is unbelievably stupid. I mean, do they really believe this?
Yeah, they do really believe it. That's why it was kind of like, I want Richard to do, I know it's hard for him what he was talking about. It's hard for him to actually get booked onto college campuses and stuff like that. But it was interesting to see him in that element last night and actually talk honestly of like, hey, we don't want to take away your rights. We don't want to like ship you off and stuff like that. And it's just so the media and even a lot of alt media figures have spread a lot of lies about how they're white supremacists and neo-Nazis who basically want like a Fourth Reich and stuff like that. And they want to like lock up or ship away like minorities. And once all the truth comes out about this stuff, it's going to be interesting to see how the media and the alt media figureheads kind of like handles the truth about what we actually believe.
Yeah, and it's also a question of mass immigration. We want that to stop. We want the flood of illegals to stop. We didn't vote for any of this, and we are the ones who pay for it all. The white majority does. No one ever asks us, hey, do you want to have millions of people come into this country without you? You know, no one ever asks us that. And with us taking care of them and paying for them, and then they go to school, and then they learn basically how to hate white people by Marxist agitators. I think a lot of these black people, you know, these seeds have been put in their head by a lot of Marxist education. What do you think?
It's same thing. It's been put in their heads. It's been put in white people's heads too, because you see all the white people standing in solidarity with the blacks at the BLM and stuff like that. And they're saying all the same stuff of like, we don't want them to get shipped off and yada, yada, yada. And we won't stand for this. And nobody's saying that. They're making all this stuff up. Like, nobody's saying anything of what they're proposing or what they're like accusing anybody of doing. Like,
and they also act like black power hasn't led to war. I mean, study African history. There's been tons of civil wars of blacks killing each other there, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Not unique to white people at all.
I mean, we've seen it this year in America, too, with all of the white, specifically white people getting targeted at the Black Lives Matter rallies and stuff like that, and specifically white cops trying to getting targeted to be killed and everything. That's stemming from the whole Black Power BLM movement. So
I think, too, they have a hard time understanding, what do you mean white identity? What do you mean? Because they know nothing about true European culture. They haven't been to Europe. They couldn't tell you a thing about Sweden versus Switzerland. I mean, European culture is rich and goes back thousands of years.
Yeah, when I've said on Twitter, like, hey, white culture is like amazing, they're like, what's white culture? White culture isn't even a thing. I was like, no, it's just so large and like so diverse that you can't even like comprehend like exactly what it is. Like, that's why my white culture is Italian and it's Polish and Czechoslovakian. So I have all of the different culture that goes along with that. Then you have some that'll be Russian, you have some that'll be French, you have the British and stuff. Like, it's huge. Like, it's that entire European continent over there.
And then I guess America is a good example of what happens when you lose touch with those cultures, right? A lot of Europeans are deracinated. So then they come here, and now it's just become, it wasn't always this way, but really it's become Big Macs and Hollywood movies, and that's what they think all our culture is like consumer big box capitalist stores. That's what they think it is.
I know, that's what they think it is. It's just, it kind of just shows how not well-versed they are on history and on culture and all this stuff like that, and how they're just stuck in their little echo chambers of just ignorance. That's what it is, really.
Yeah, I thought a lot of what happened yesterday with Richard was much better than Milo's, actually, SJW's tour. It's getting to the real stuff, the stuff that matters, and gets right to the heart of our problems. You know, I think that's why that tour will probably not be allowed on universities, but you never know. We'll see.
Yeah, I enjoyed Richard's tour much more than Milo's. Richard got even more of the crazies coming out for him than Milo did.
Well, I want to play a clip of one of the heated moments.
You know, I do have respect for, I understand the left in a way. I do understand them. People I don't really have respect for, to be honest, are the kind of gutter punks that spend their life protesting other people, that their life is so empty, so meaningless, that they have to fill up that void with hatred of people who actually care about their identity. And I'm referring to people like you. At the end, do you see me protesting some Marxist gathering somewhere? I don't care. Go knock yourself out. Go talk about Das Kapital or the Grundrisse. I'm exciting violence? Inciting or exciting? Inciting violence? Yeah. I doubt that. Okay, I'm fine. Speak.
Now people start coming up to the stage.
What I find fascinating is that the left always believes
about black power right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is what you do, Spencer. You make me want to murder you, and I can't control myself and just want to hang every white person, you know? And we get blamed for that. We get blamed for it when a non-white person gets violent and wants to storm the stage when Richard Spencer, one guy, is just stating some of his views.
Yeah, that was actually the first angle that I saw where I was able to get a clear view of that poster that he was holding up, because I was watching on Periscope. I didn't see that it was like a picture of Hitler with his brains getting blown out and stuff like that. Like, that's like actually just like follow your leader. Like, that's actually like disturbing. Like, he's literally telling all of us to like go kill ourselves just for like trying to embrace a European identity. Like, it was just, it's amazing too to see a white kid go up there and hold that sign. And then so the black kid comes up and locks arms. But what was like so amazing to me is when they started to lock arms and the whole black power thing started to take a hold, you finally had a white, for the first time that I've ever seen a white male stand up and stand in front of them and be like, no, you're not going to do this. Yeah. Like that was like wonderful to see, is white people actually standing up for what we believe in for one of like the first times. And that's why I so appreciate this alt-right movement, is that it's the self-flagellating is done a lot with white people who are following this movement.
Yep, and I saw there was lots of cops, and they had some riot gear on, and I kept saying on Twitter, they're not there for the alt-right people. They're there, you know, because of the lefties. The lefties are the ones that get violent. We all know it's the leftists and the anti-whites that get violent. Mm-hmm. It's never us. And he did make a good point there. It's not us storming their Marxist gatherings, ever. Mm-hmm. When do we ever shut down their ability to share their views? No, we never do.
Don't, we don't care. Plus, if we know that we're going to go there, we're probably going to get beat up because they're violent. That's why we don't go do that stuff. So we let them scream and we let them screech and yell and stuff like that, and then it's over with. So that's
I also think that a lot of those guys that went up there right away, Black Power, they're just a perfect example of a product of years of anti-white brainwashing by Marxists, you know, and they're just projecting all of this hate onto Richard Spencer, all these things that they've been taught about white people, they're just projecting it onto that guy. So then they just want to beat him up like crazy. It's like they're stuck in this victim mode because everyone's teaching about slavery, mass slavery, over and over and over, even though it's an ancient institution and even though whites were enslaved in the same period in Europe by Arabs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, during the same time as the transatlantic slave trade.
No, the Arabs, they started that whole thing over there. The Arabs still have people enslaved today. They still have so many blacks enslaved today in modern-day Middle East and stuff like that. We just had it there. I don't know if you heard the story, but there was just a couple Middle Eastern Muslims and stuff in New Jersey that were arrested for holding, I think it was about five people as slaves in their factory in New Jersey.
Great.
Yeah,
I mean, it's exactly slavery is still it's still ongoing today in parts of Asia, Middle East, Africa. No one ever talks about that.
No, it's not really happening in Western countries that much. Like, you obviously have the people that try to, like, say the illegal immigrants that come in and work for such a low wage are slaves, but they choose to come here and they choose to work like
That's
that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Now, when they shout Black Power, what do you think that entails exactly in their mind? What is that? What do they want?
What I think they want, I think they truly think that they're oppressed and they're downtrodden and they're taken advantage of. I think it's like you saw, like, back in the 60s before the civil rights and stuff like that, where they actually were oppressed and they actually didn't have the same rights and stuff like that as whites. And they had a legitimate cause back then to fight for their rights. But now it's a bunch of brainwashing and it's a bunch of lies and stuff like that. And the Black Power thing is just them. I mean, I personally think it's a whole supremacist thing, especially since they do have every single right that every other American has. It's them trying to, I don't know, fight the power.
I kind of feel like they want to have the ability to just basically abuse whites and get bling. They think that we owe them for something. And, you know, there has been a lot of blacks, you know, whatever you will about Jim Crow, but there was a lot of blacks that say that they actually did better when they had their own communities, their own schools, their own systems, that they actually thrived better. There's less crime. Their neighborhoods did better. So that's kind of interesting. Something you don't hear about often.
No, a lot of the black families in America were doing better than whites as far as marriage and divorce rates and stuff like that. Like, back before all of the civil rights and back before all of the welfare and everything completely destroyed their communities. Like, it's been sad to see me actually researching how they were back then and how they are today, because I've even talked to some older, like, rational black people on Twitter and stuff like that when they were growing up, and they've seen the decline of their culture too over the past 30 years or so, from when they were kids until 2016 today. So it's sad to see, but I don't know what they're trying. It's like the whole Black Power thing. It seems like they're trying to get something from us where we want to fix it, but it's not anything that we can fix in their community and fix in their culture. Like, it's their own issues that they need to fix within their families and their communities and their lives and stuff like that. That's why I don't understand the whole thing, is because we can't do anything for them. The government can't do anything for them. The government already made their communities and their lives and stuff the way that it largely is right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that like to basically blame white privilege or blame white people for all the things that they don't have. They want to look to things that happened hundreds of years ago, you know, as an excuse to point to, this is the only reason why I don't have it and they have it. It's just a typical Marxist thought that's really infested our society of, you know, I'm the higher victim here on the ladder, so you need to give it to me, right?
Yeah, it's just like I had the same conversation with my brother when I was just visiting him up in New York a week ago or something like that. That's why he was blaming slavery and, like, just structural racism and all of that for all of the issues that the blacks have in New York and stuff like that. And I tried to explain to him, he's like, the cities were built specifically to segregate blacks from everything. I was just like, okay, they may have been built like that, but blacks have every single opportunity to get out of those cities now. Like, I was like, you can't call it structural racism and that they're downtrodden and everything if blacks can make the right choices to get out of those horrible, terrible cities. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be terrible growing up and they're going to have to make some hard decisions and deal with some really hard things. But you can't call it structural racism if they have the ability to make the right choices and get out of the cities.
Well, and there's more white people in poverty in America than anyone else. So.
Yeah, I know. I tried to explain that and everything. And it's just, it's a completely ignored factor that if you're going by in relation to population, no, there isn't. But if you're going by strict numbers, then yeah, there's a lot more whites who live in extreme poverty in the United States.
It's also these lies of egalitarianism we've pumped with that says we're exactly the same. Okay, under the law, yeah, we're treated the same, but we're not born the same. Some people are smarter, some people are more attractive, some people are more talented, and we do have to face the fact that there are racial differences, and blacks thrive better in different kinds of societies. You know, they didn't create this particular society, so I think that they struggle more so in it, but I've traveled around Africa. I've seen, you know, some of the village life and what they create there, and it actually works really well for them, you know?
Yeah, no, that's why if I think if blacks had their own communities the way that they wanted to run them, then they'd be better. But they also can't have the government helping them out with everything. So that's why it's sad because they are just so reliant on the government and on welfare and stuff like that, that they don't know how to work to like make their life better. And it's just like they're permanent victims for their entire life. Like nobody has ever gotten ahead from being treated special. And that's the issue that we have with the human rights and everything going on right now. The particular human rights for certain groups in the United States. If you're treated special, you're not going to get ahead with anything.
You think that white people are superior? Do you think that you are better than I am?
There's no ultimate objective.
Answer the question!
There is no...
Do you think that he's better than me? Is she better than me?
I'll answer your question. There is no ultimate objective standard whereby I would say that this race is cosmically better than the other. What I would say, the white race is mine. It is the most important thing for me. It is unique.
Yeah, before she asked, you know, do you think you're superior? You think you're this is what they think it is. It kind of reminds me of like a lot of gangsters and in the ghetto and they size each other up. You think you're better than me? You know, they kind of get that thing going.
That's part of their culture, though, is to keep asking, do you think you're better than me? Do you think you're better than me? It was that whole thing went on. You just showed like what, like 20 or 30. That whole thing went on for like 6 minutes, I think, of her standing up there. And then it finally ended with her refusing to give back the microphone until she got the answer from Richard.
She didn't understand the answer, and he said there is no objective answer. See, they don't understand. It's like they're totally missing each other in this conversation.
No, there is no objective factor that white people overall are better than black people or Hispanic people or Asian people, which we already recognize that statistically Asian people are overall smarter and more successful than the majority of white people. But it's just, There are wonderful, smart black people, and there are really stupid white people, and then there are wonderful, smart white people, and there are good, red black people.
Yeah, I mean, so the cultures are different, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Just like he was saying, there's no objective standard. Like, you have to, like, you can statistically notice race and stuff like that, but you can still judge people on an individual basis.
Sure. But then at the same time, we never get any credit for, not that I need credit for, but the uniqueness of Western civilization. No, they're always just slamming all the bad things. Who else has been on the moon, for instance? Yeah. Who else goes into space? We've been able to achieve some pretty cool things, right?
Yeah, and we've been able to achieve some great things. It's just, that whole interview, that whole questioning, line of questioning that she started off so condescending to, that whole line of questioning that she did. I was just like, I'm going to speak to you in plain language. I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, and her plain language was, fuck you, asshole, yeah, fuck yeah, everyone who thinks
fuck
like
everyone
you.
Everyone who agrees with you. I was just like, whoa.
Very, very classy, very intelligent. I want to play another clip of a white guy who's wearing this T-shirt that says, beat the hell out of hate.
BTHOH hate, what does that mean?
That stands for beat the hell out of hate.
Oh, that's very nice. So boring and bourgeois, yet you're going to beat the hell out of me? Really?
No.
What are you waiting for?
That's...
You're wearing this t-shirt, sir. Well, I'm right here. Why don't you come beat me up?
I was intending to ask a civil question, sir.
Why are you wearing a violent t-shirt? You're going to beat the hell out of...
Spend a little time at A&M and you'll figure out what this means.
Oh, effectively it means nothing. Because I knew you when I saw you first coming in. I've seen millions of people like you. You are a white coward. You wear some little t-shirt, beat the hell out of hate. Yeah, you're not even willing to do that. That t-shirt is total bullshit. You're not even willing to go to the gym. Look how fat you are. You can't beat the hell out of anything, sir. Seriously, I have to say, I have, people say I am based on hate.
I hope this
I
is getting
honest,
on tape.
I have utter
this
contempt.
Is, this is free speech, everybody.
I have utter contempt for losers like you, sir. You wear a violent t-shirt. You're not even willing to actually do anything. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
May I ask my question, please?
The guy behind him was pretty fat, too. Man, white people are in such a sad state. You know, it's just painful. Yeah, but the loser, he's wearing this T-shirt, is, you know, advocating violence, and he can't even sum up what it means. He's saying, yeah. Well, attend A&M. It's like, no?
Yeah,
summarize it.
That's why I was questioning some A&M students today on that on my Twitter, and apparently it's some sports thing that they have, some sports reference or something that they say beat the hell out of whatever sports, I don't know, opposing team that they're going with. I was just like, okay, it's some sports reference, but the majority of people don't go to A&M and they're not going to know that. And that's still beat the hell out of, like, that's still objectively violent if you don't know what that means. I was like, it doesn't change the fact that it's a violent phrase. So,
well, yeah, and all the protesters outside were full of violence. I mean, they talk about peace and love and tolerance. It's all bullshit. And now it's starting to come out that everyone knows, no, they just want violence. They just want blood in the streets. They're like American Bolsheviks. They're out there, you know, talking about hanging fascists and killing Nazis, and they don't even know what a national socialist is, you know.
Yeah, no, that's why I didn't watch any of the protests that went on outside of Richard's lecture last night, but I did watch some of the ones that went on outside of NPI. I'm assuming that they're at least similar to something that was happening outside of NPI, with the same just people screaming into a microphone and not letting the other side speak and stuff like that, and actually able to have like a normal conversation about viewpoints.
It's so sad though when you see how there's white people, even older white men there, complaining on a young white guy who just wants to talk about white identity in a time when white people are being beaten down and abused and propagandized in every way possible to hate themselves. How dare we question what white identity means in a time where we're becoming a minority when 95% of the world is not white, right?
Yeah, it was frustrating to see some of the older people come up there and ask questions like that. I was just like, you were kind of raised in a time where it was like, actually seemed a little bit more rational and stuff like that. I was like, I kind of wonder if that guy was like a professor or something like that too. I don't know if he's been identified or if he was just some random person that came there. He kind of seemed like he might have been a professor or something. So, I mean, it would make sense that if he's a professor, he's probably left and he's going to believe in that stuff. But I don't know. It's just kind of sad to see that these older people are teaching kids to hate whites and hate their skin color.
Yeah, as if it's all just skin color, right? Like, as that's all it is.
Yeah.
Well, that begs the question, what is white identity to you?
White identity is, to me, is just embracing our values, embracing our heritage, embracing everything that we've done so we can still keep the West the West. So that's what it is to me, is just to embrace, own all the bad stuff that we've done, but also embrace all of the good that we have brought into the world, and embrace all of the good that we continue to keep in the world.
Yeah, without identity, you're lost. I mean, it's as high on the hierarchy of needs. You know, white identity is European identity. Like, yeah, you have personal traits and things that are part of identity that are not connected to race, but I would say race is the root, because from there comes culture, ancestry, history, even spirituality, and all these aspects have shaped our identity. And without identity, you're just lost, you're rootless, you're empty. It turns into Big Macs and Hollywood movies, right?
Exactly. So there's just so much more to white identity than the capitalistic crap that you just see here in America and in the West and stuff. It goes a lot deeper. That's why it was nice for me when I was in New York. I went to a bunch of the museums, and of course I visited all of the European exhibits and stuff like that. I was like, this is my heritage. Like all of the, like, it was nice going to a bigger city and actually connecting with my heritage, and going to Ellis Island and connecting, walking on the same exact path through the hospitals and through the immigration centers where my ancestors came in the early 1900s and worked hard and made a life for themselves here in the United States.
Yeah, that's special. That's very nice. Yeah, and I always feel, why can't they ever listen to us? We've been listening to their side of the story. Now we've been choking on their side of the story for years and years and years. They always say, you can't speak for blacks. You don't know what it's like to be black. Yeah, you're right. I don't. But you also don't know what it's like to be white.
Yeah, I know. That's why Well, it's just the thing on top of it, too. They think they know what it's like to be white because they're pumped full of all the Marxist crap in the media and in their schools and stuff like that, where they just think that it's about subjugation and it's about controlling everybody and it's about imperialism and colonialism and stuff. And that's what it is to be white. And that's where all of the rhetoric comes from Black Lives Matter and all of the commie rallies outside of these like alt-right type things, or even Milo's very mild lectures that he holds and stuff, he gets the same kind of at least he used to get the same kind of reactions outside of his lectures. It's wild.
So I saw that you were in an article. Where was this? This was in June. Yes. Generation Trump, meet the woman who think feminism is cancer. Let me scroll down. They want to try and shame these women. And here you are. So tell us about this article. How'd you end up in this?
I think she just messaged me on, this was when I was like big into, I hadn't really like, I'd been kind of researching out the alt-right stuff at this point. I hadn't really actually researched it at this point. I was more into like the Milo kind of phase and stuff like that. But it was just, yeah, this is.
Well, what you say here is good. You said the biggest problem I have with third wave feminists is the 21st century American women are possibly the most privileged and well-treated women since the beginning of human existence, and they act like they are simply victims. And it's true. I say this all the time. Yeah. European women have had it the best. Our men have created great societies for us, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. That's what this is. I guess she, I don't know what this is for. I guess she wanted to interview some anti-feminist, like it was some sort of crazy thing that some woman doesn't believe in feminism or something like that and still can, I don't know, seem not like a victim. I have no clue what they believe anymore. But
and you also brought up another good one too, like they don't bring up Islam or any other non-European women, how they're treated, do they?
No, they don't. It's why there's a few. The only women that I've seen bring up that kind of stuff are, one, they're anti-feminist, but they're also ex-Muslims. And those are the only ones that I've seen bring up the treatment of how horribly women in the Middle East are treated. And even in the women within, that's what you have, the women within Black culture with the men not being around, they're treated horribly. They're just treated like cum buckets, and they don't value themselves. They don't value family and everything. It's the same thing. That's why you have the same Muslim ghettos and stuff in Europe. And so I'm not sure how bad it is here in the United States as far as Muslim ghettos go, but especially in Europe and stuff like that, the women in those ghettos are treated terribly. It's sad to see.
Well, before we wrap up, let everyone know about your YouTube channel and your Twitter and what else you have going on.
Right now with YouTube stuff, I haven't really gotten that going. I just post some like random videos or mirror videos up there occasionally. Twitter right now, I'm locked out of there, so I'm not exactly sure if I'm
going to. Yeah, that just happened tonight when we were talking.
Yeah,
too.
That just happened like about, I don't know, around like 7:30 or 7:40, 6:30 or no, actually 5:30. I don't even know what time it is anymore. Around 5:30, I got locked out of there. So I'm not sure if that's from the Richard Spencer stuff or debating people on there who called me a white supremacist Nazi from posting his videos.
Yeah, that's so, you. You just want to dominate everybody, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm mostly on Twitter right now. It's just Fact Magna America. You can find me on there as long as I'm going to be getting that account back at around 5:30 this next morning. So I'm locked out of there for about another 11 hours. Other than that, that's about all I have going on. And I can say, too, if you're in Orlando and you're more into the alt-right scene, contact me on my Twitter so we can get together and create a Florida group for alt-right.
That's great. Yeah, I know there are some guys down there, so I'm sure they'll be reaching out to you.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd like to create that so we can start doing our own little activist things down here in Florida. That would be great.
Perfect. Well, Erica, thank you so much for your time tonight. I've really enjoyed it, and it's nice to connect with you.
Yeah, it's nice to connect with you. Thanks for having me on.
I've heard anti-whites claim that there's no such thing as white identity because there's no such thing as white people or white culture. Yes, really. But white people are Europeans, and Europeans as a whole do have a shared culture. All you have to do is travel across Europe to discover this reality. It's true, each ethnicity has their unique nuances and differences, but without a doubt, Europeans, or white people, possess a shared, unified culture that embraces similar themes and concepts. But then they'll say, what constitutes a white person anyway? This is a stupid question. But of course they'll say this while they scream hysterically about white privilege. And if you travel across Africa or Asia, you'll find there's a shared black culture and a shared Asian culture, but no one ever says there's no such thing as black culture or Asian culture. And no one attacks blacks for embracing an African identity, or Asians for embracing an Asian identity, or Jews for their Jewish identity. I've said it, but I'll keep repeating it. Identity is something that is important to all of us on a psychological level. It is who we are and how we express who we are. Without it, we are lost entirely. Being white isn't all my identity, but it is a lot of it. White identity is European identity, and it means you know where you come from, who your ancestors are, and what your ancient culture and history is. Yeah, we have personality traits that are part of our identity, but race is a core aspect. From race comes culture, ancestry, history, even spirituality. All these aspects have shaped our identity. Without identity and knowledge of your ancestors, you're lost and rootless, empty, easy to control and take advantage of. And that is exactly what anti-whites want for white people. That's it for now, but if you like what we do, sign up for a Red Ice membership at redicemembers.com to have access to all our content. Or if you want to help support this show by sending a donation, visit paypal.me/redice. Have a relaxing evening, and we'll talk soon.